Right, it's time for Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York from Impact Media. Hope you guys are doing great. I know it's been a little while since we've spoken to each other. I hope everybody's enjoyed the vacation. There is a lot to get to. A lot of things I want to get to today. I haven't got a chance to tell you guys what my thoughts on the last game of the season, so we'll get into that. We'll answer questions such as, what do we learn this year? Where do we go from here? And for the most part, just kind of go over everything, catch you up to speed with everything that I've heard and things you've heard, because I've got a chance to talk to a lot of you guys. It's been a lot of fun. Appreciate it. You guys taking the time to send in your questions and comments and just overall things. But as I said, I do want to jump into first the review of the last game. Of course, where Houston, who was almost a playoff team, I know in the division, and that's hard to swallow sometimes, but you gotta know at one point Houston was where the Jaguars are now. They had to rebuild. Obviously, J.J. Watt kind of aided in helping that a little bit more. It happens. The Jaguars have a few of these type of players that could, maybe even in this draft, there's a draft here, guys on the roster now that could turn this thing around completely, and the Jaguars right on the edge of the playoffs next year. 23-17 was the final, but we saw the game. There was the great Cecil Shorts pass for the touchdown, the 23-yarder. I don't even know if he's going to be with the team at this point. From what I'm hearing, some days he is, some days he's not. It just depends on which draft expert you ask as to if they're going to go big or trade down, that kind of thing. We'll get into that later. Bortles, as I've said before, I like a quarterback that throws between 30 and 35 times a game. He threw 33, right in the middle. Only 14 of those were completions. That's something you can work on. We can work on accuracy. We can work on things. They were trying to figure out the scheme. He's trying to figure out the playbook. We'll get a little more into him later as far as his development. For 117 yards, this seemed to be about his average this year. As a rookie on a team that's building through the draft the way that the Jaguars are, for the most part, I'm good with his statistics. The thing about it is, he was put in a lot quicker than expected, which sometimes happens. Chad Henne wasn't really holding up his end of the bargain, so it was time to kind of move from there. Blake stepped in, took on some of the team as much as he could on his shoulders, and he had a lot of young guys around him as well, so everybody kind of learned together. That's a good thing. He ended up being the leading rusher in this game, which is a whole different animal to itself. He had 61 yards on 3 attempts, while Jordan Todman, who is the change of pace back, had 7 carries for 52 yards. Both of their longs were 34, and the Toby Gerhardt experience, which I believe should sail away soon, should be out of the harbor. 4 attempts for 8 yards, with 9 being his longest. Yeah, at some point he must have went backwards. That's what that means. Cecil Shorts ended up with 5 receptions for 47 yards. Jordan Todman, 5 receptions for 46 yards and the touchdown, including the Cecil Shorts pass. So, you know, that kind of is what it is there. Most of your offense came from 2 wide receivers, one who threw the other one the ball. It happens. I know the Jaguars have been down for a handful of years, and you kind of see these kind of things happen a lot of times, but you have to keep in mind this team's doing it right. They're doing it, you know, the best way they can. We'll get into some of the projections a little bit later on. Ace caught a big pass. Allen Hurns has kind of developed pretty well, especially after the big splash. Marquise Lee, you're going to get Allen Robinson back next year. To me, he's still one of my favorites, one of the best route runners by far out of last year's draft, and could arguably be one of the best route runners in the league in a couple years. We'll see. Once you're back healthy, Mr. Robinson. On the flip side of this, Case Keenum. Yeah, that Case Keenum, the one who was in and out of the league, and then they hired him back. And I don't know, at some point even Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk can't make sense of why Case Keenum was back, but he was back. And in the process, 25 for 35, right there in that spot I'm always talking about. Two touchdowns, one interception. Once again, right about a little above average numbers in the league. 250 yards, right about league average. That's kind of what Bortles is going to be working to. Case Keenum had a little bit different. These guys know him. He's took them to the playoffs before, if I'm not mistaken. He's took them to the playoffs, but T.J. Yates is the only quarterback to have a playoff win with them, and the Falcons are going to probably let him walk the plank pretty soon as well. So, or kick him out of the nest, see if he can fly. It doesn't matter. He's probably out. Don't need him either. Neither team. Atlanta nor Jacksonville. So, we won't even go that route. They did have Jonathan Grimes and Alfred Blue, and Arian Foster wasn't really much of a factor. For the most part, I think we may have seen Foster's better days are behind him now. That happens. But then again, that's the Texans. That's the enemy. You don't have to necessarily hate them, but you got to know you can't necessarily cheer for them. I mean, you can if you want. We're in free country. If you want to like 32 teams, that's fine. But at least when we play them twice a year, it's Jaguars definitely over Houston. Even though the score was a little differently. Like I said, Jonathan Grimes had 45 yards for them. Alfred Blue had just chipped away at a bunch of yards and ended up with a touchdown. Andre Johnson proved why he's still one of the better, kind of underrated guys in the league as far as catching passes. 10 receptions, 134 yards. That's kind of where most of Case Keenum's passes went. So, you know, that is what it is as far as that. But 23-17, as much as I really wanted to see a victory to close out the year, it is what it is, and on to the offseason. And as far as the offseason, I'm going to jump right into the first question that I was going to pose, and that would be, where do we go from here? From this point right now, we just come out of the combine, you had until 4 o'clock today, to franchise tag a player. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to check here in a second again, and if that changes, I'll let you guys know, but the Jaguars did not tag anybody that I'm aware of, which means that pretty much if you are going to be a free agent in 2 weeks, then you're still going to be a free agent in 2 weeks unless they work out some sort of deal. I believe the deadline is next Tuesday, I'm being told. So, as far as that, you have until next Tuesday to sign people back, or they become free agents. Maybe you can sign them back at a smaller deal. The main thing, you have to continue to develop the first and second year guys and build through the draft, which is exactly what they're doing. Even with the phones ringing off the hook here, we're going to stay with you guys. We'll get somebody else to get that. From the caller ID that's popping up on the screen across the room from us, it's not the Jaguars, so they can wait. But like I said, you got to continue to develop the first and second year guys. This team is real young. In fact, almost too young, I think, for this year. That's something we learned. That's something that Gus Bradley kind of mentioned. That's something Shad Khan said. Maybe at some point, you know, GM Caldwell, he said these kind of things, like maybe we went a little too young, but the good thing is all these young guys are going to learn together. All you need to do in free agency now is fill in a couple of the gaps, find some of the veterans to come in and mentor these young guys, get that veteran presence, that leadership, and show everybody, you know, how to survive in this league. It's not just on the field. Off the field is just as treacherous as we've learned, especially with Justin Blackmon, which, update on that one, I'm still not hearing much more than he's still in a substance facility, I believe, in Houston. And trust me, as soon as I learn more about that, I will let you guys know. Another thing that I believe we need to do as far as where do we go from here decide who is still on board with this year's step and the steps that they're going to make over the next couple weeks that lead into the OTAs and things coming up. Who's still on board with the plan and who's not? Some people may want out. Some people may just not fit the scheme. That kind of thing happens. It's, you know, it even happens in our daily lives. At one point, you're brought onto a project because you're there for a particular role. And then later on in the project, maybe the role's not needed anymore, or maybe you weren't performing the task or the role the best way you could. So they move on to somebody else. It happens, but that's something they're going to have to decide. That's what every team has to decide about right now, who to cut, who to sign, who to not sign, that sort of thing. Obviously, so far everybody's still pretty much on board, except for, and we'll get into him a little later, we're going to get into him now. They did release cornerback Will Blackman, and on his way out, I don't know if, I guess he was a little disgruntled. I really don't want to say unprofessional. But on his way out, he decided to slam the franchise, the organization, Coach Bradley, I believe, management, that sort of thing. Maybe he's a little disgruntled. I don't know the entire story. I don't know. Maybe he felt like he wasn't given a fair chance. Who knows? These kind of things happen. And it's just kind of par for the course. Sometimes when you get rid of somebody, they're going to be a little mad about it. Wish the best to Will Blackman. He'll probably find work somewhere. A lot of people need corners. He'll be okay. At least he didn't slam the fan base. Which feeds into my next thing, as far as where do we go from here. This team needs to continue to feed off the amazing fan base. Yep, that's you guys. You guys are creating such an amazing atmosphere down there at Everbank Field. And it's not just the new facilities. It's the people that are using those facilities, you guys. The more awesome and amazing you guys make Everbank Field and make the whole Duval County and just Jacksonville in general, is going to make the team play better. They're going to know that the fans and the surrounding area and Jag Nation is behind them. I mean, doesn't that make us all better? Knowing that somebody's behind you, somebody has your back, so that when you're out there busting your rear end to try to get better and to try to learn new plays and learn the schemes and learn how to play with the people beside you, because there could be a lot of new faces this time around. We're not real sure, but we know that the Jaguars are going to spend a lot of money. I think Jacksonville and Oakland are the two teams that are going to spend the most money, because they have the most that they can. So we'll have to see what happens from there. Next up on the thing, what did we learn this year? We learned a lot of stuff. We learned that, for one, Chad Henne didn't hold up his end of the bargain, which rolls over into my second point, or my 1A point, that quarterback Blake Bortles progressed over the season after being inserted earlier than expected into the lineup. We can't get mad at Chad for this. Chad tried the best he could, but just given where he's at in his career and the development of his arm and you know, Chad's seen better days. He knows this. I'm not saying he doesn't have it anymore. I think Chad could still help a lot of players. He could still help a lot of teams. Maybe his time in Jacksonville is drawing to a close, though. There is a shelf life on every relationship, and, you know, his may be slowly growing to a close. As far as the overall progression of Blake Bortles, I think he did well given the immense pressure he was immediately put into. That's got to be tough. You're the new guy on the block, you're getting mentored, and then all of a sudden they take the mentor out and insert you in really before you've learned all that much. You just kind of have to, on-the-job training, I guess, learn as you go. I thought he did pretty good. They're going to surround him with a few more people to help him out. But like I said, this team was so young, they're going to all grow together. They all learned how to play with each other and succeed in doing so. This coming up year should be a lot of fun. And I know you guys will come out in droves for all the fan festivities and get to meet all the players and the caravans and all the stuff. We'll get a little more into that here in a little while. The next thing we learned this year, once again, is going to go back to you guys. The fan base is growing and is still full of excitement. It'd have been real easy to write this team off. It'd have been real easy for everybody to go, you know what, maybe I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. Maybe I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan, a Miami Dolphins fan, Atlanta Falcons. Heck, maybe I'm a Everton Football Club fan. Who knows? But you guys always stuck by this team. That's one thing Jackson DeVille talked about when he was on. Brett from the Teal Street Hooligans. It's always been about sticking by this team, not because it's where you live, but in the same way, because it's where you live. You're proud of the fact that it's your team, it's your city. I mean, you guys are packing out the stadium every game. You're making the other team feel a little less welcome than they normally would be. That's always a good thing. You got to make them a little uneasy. Makes them play different. One of the other things we learned this year, with the emergence of the young wide receivers, it may be time to move on from Cecil Shorts the third. Now, I like Shorts. Trust me. I like Cecil Shorts. I think he's a great young receiver. But as many good young receivers as there are, it may be time to move on from him. I believe his contract comes up. He would be a free agent if they do not re-sign him by next Tuesday's deadline. In doing so, I think they would... There's so many wide receivers out there, especially the Randall Cobbs, possibly Calvin Johnson. Harry Douglas is out there. I don't know what Atlanta was thinking, but that's a whole different show and a whole different tangent. To me, what needs to be done by Jacksonville is you need to find a veteran wide receiver to come in and mentor. The same way I said earlier, you got to come in and mentor these young wide receivers as to how to benefit and play your game for the best benefit of the team. Is Randall Cobb in the picture? Sure. Could they draft another wide receiver? Sure. But I think that the veteran leadership is what's really going to be needed with this team. Probably one of the most blatantly obvious things we learned this year. Jacksonville could be a good idea if you do, not maybe we'll try this. You have to get a good running back in Jacksonville. Denard Robinson made a good move forward. I liked what he did, but like I said, the Gerhardt experience needs to get on a boat and find a different harbor. I don't think Jacksonville is going to work out. Toby Gerhardt's a good guy. He does a lot for the community. Like I said, just super guy, real smart, real fan-friendly, but with the numbers he put up, he needs to be elsewhere next season. As long as he's not in Jacksonville, consider it a good thing. On the plus side, the defense made some good plays. But without Son Derek Marks, the sack total wasn't all that big. Marks by far was the big contributor there, and unfortunately he got hurt towards the end. He was on his way to a record-breaking season, I believe, with sacks. Guy's a hell of a player. There's a lot of really good players on this defense, but he's the cornerstone, so it's about getting him healthy, and then in free agent season, the best thing to do is to surround him with other veterans so that he doesn't have to try to carry the load the entire time. Another thing we learned, the offensive line banded together, but it still has problems. It's kind of like one of those Native American woven baskets, so to say. No matter how much you weave it together, sometimes water could get in here or there. They've got to find a way to work better as a unit and not give up so many sacks, because Bortles gave up a lot more than you'd really want a rookie to give up, a lot more than you want anybody to give up, but especially a rookie. You don't want him to start getting gun-shy about releasing the ball and holding on to it too much. But like I said, the offensive line did a good job of banding together once they were able to get a cohesive unit. Now to my two of my favorite things for sure, and I'll swap them out of order, which will make my producer so happy. But one thing we learned this year, the long snapper Carson Tinker is solid. Last time I checked, there was no kind of miscues as far as anything that Carson threw back towards the kicker or the punter, for sure. Carson's got a great book that it's called A Season to Remember, about his tragic but uplifting story at the University of Alabama and his journey as to how he got to here now. As far as perseverance, Carson's definitely one of those kind of guys. But like I said, as far as his long snapping, I think he's one of the best in the league. And I'm not just saying this because I read his book or any kind of reason whatsoever. It's got nothing to do with it. The whole thing about it is he tries to get better and better each day and keeps trying harder and harder and harder. And shout out to you, Carson. Virtual high five, as I've been giving out recently on a lot of the Impact Media podcasts. Virtual high five. Keep doing what you're doing. Just an amazing talent. And the last thing, I think this is my favorite. Well, there's actually another one. These last two will be my favorite for sure. Josh Scobie is still awesome. I don't care how old he is. I don't care what people say. Josh Scobie is still by far one of the top kickers in the game. When he came down to a big kick, Scobie hit it. He didn't get as many opportunities this year as he typically does, but, you know, that kind of falls in the offense and defense a little bit. It's a three-part game, offense, defense, special teams. So, you know, it's a team victory, it's a team loss. That's the kind of things people have to look at. But like I said, as far as it goes, Josh Scobie, still awesome. Virtual high five for you as well, sir. Last thing we learned. The last thing we learned, Jacksonville continues to be the best mascot in the game. Not just football, I think he's the best in sports. In fact, if you get a chance, go on his Twitter account, at Jacksonville, and or go to Fatheads, it's at Fathead. They had a conversation about which photo they could use for upcoming Fathead promotions and stuff like that, and just get into that conversation, because that is a great conversation, and it just tells you, it just helps prove my point how awesome he is. Let's see, we talked about Will Blackman. Wish the best for him, but I'm trying not to blast people. Don't know if you guys got to see the press conference, the State of the Franchise address with owner Shad Khan. Had a couple of the other guys up there as well. Had a lot of cool things. The things I like the most, Mr. Khan said a few quotes I'm going to use from him here. He said, "We owe you more," unquote. What more can you get from an owner? The owner, he didn't say we let you down, but he said as a franchise and as a team and a product on the field in the National Football League, he felt like the team and the front office management and everybody owed you, the fans, more. He also said, quote, "No pressure on Blake, his job is safe," unquote. And that's another thing, he believes in Blake Bortles, he's not ready to move on, because there's a handful of quarterbacks that it could be worth taking a flyer on in this draft coming up, but he likes where Blake's development is. He just let him know there's no pressure here. They probably will bring in a veteran as a backup, just in case, you know, God forbid anything happened to him, there's somebody waiting in the wings to take over till he gets back. Some of the other things from the State of the Franchise address. By the way, not every team does these, or if they do, I don't ever hear about them. But I thought it was really awesome they did this. 2014, the local revenue performance and results. The in-game experience, all these improved, especially the in-game experience between the pool and the cabana. And they've just got so many awesome, amazing things coming up. Other things they're going to do. The big video boards. How awesome are those things? The Jacksonville market realties and challenges. They're going to try to get better. They're going to try to develop the area. Which leads me to, I don't know if you guys saw the awesome flyby video of the potential plan to develop the properties known as the shipyards. Basically make it a boardwalk facility with everything from apartments and housing to restaurants and fun activities and recreational areas, including Jaguar practice facilities, this thing is awesome. Go to jaguars.com. You can see that video. That thing is awesome. It reminds me of like Roller Coaster Tycoon meets The Sims. And hopefully you're old or young enough and to remember those particular two games I'm talking about and experiences. These things are awesome. And one of the last things I wanted to hit on is a lot of people aren't sure about this whole playing games in London every year. Let me explain it to you a little bit. I talked to some media guys, some with the NFL and some in the Jacksonville area, who explained this a little better to me because I had some concerns as well. Now, my concern has kind of lessened over the last few months because Mr. Khan wouldn't invest this much money in making Jacksonville a more attractable area for free agents and families and everybody to come visit and come live and make Jacksonville that much better of an area. He wouldn't invest all his money if he planned on moving the team. He wouldn't put these video boards in. He wouldn't put pools, cabanas. He wouldn't improve the field. He wouldn't go spend money on free agents. He would let the team tank and then move them wherever he wanted to. So keep that in mind. The thing I learned from the NFL people I talked to and the Jaguars people as well, the games in London help expand the brand and they add revenue to the team. I think last year and the year before, averaging right at between 15 and 18% of the team revenue came from overseas. The Union Jacks over in London. Those guys are awesome. How many other teams say they have an international fan base like that? It just makes the Jacksonville brand that much more awesome. But, so as we go into free agency, I hope I've answered your questions. I hope I've explained everything. I tried to address everything you guys sent the best I could. If I haven't up to this point, then I'm still working on it. Still trying to find the exact answer. I don't want to give you a half answer. I'm not going to lead you on like that. If I know the answer, I'm going to tell you. But that's going to pretty much do it for us this week on Jaguar Zone. Thanks to Impact Media for allowing us to come on. They've got some amazing things coming up as well. In fact, programming notes for the rest of this week, because it'll be 2 weeks before we speak again. Revolution Zone, which is all about the Texas Revolution of the Champions Indoor Football League, will come to you live tomorrow night, featuring the special guest tomorrow night will be Sonny Clark, who is the voice of the Texas Revolution. Of course, the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show will be live at 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, thanks to Impact Media on that one as well. On Thursday, me and Reggie Walker and Coach Hill will talk about everything that's been going on in the NFL, as well as a Falcons preview. And that's actually going to do it. So, shout out to all you guys down in Jacksonville who make this so cool to talk about each week and just make the best game experiences every time I go to a game. So, shout out to you guys, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Your chest, pump your fist, get ready for